Now, next year, it'll be 60 years of hurt for Frank and Dave.
I'm laughing.
It'll be the 60th anniversary of England winning the World Cup. And the manager, of course, was Sir Alf Ramsey. And there have been a number of books written about Sir Alf. But this new book is The Unseen Sir Alf. Mm. It's called Unseen Sir Alf, A Different Kind of Hero, and tells a very different story, and maybe looks at some of the motivations into what drove him as a coach and what shaped him as a coach to lead him to for England winning that World Cup under him. Grant Bage is the author, and he joins us in the studio. Hi, Grant.
Grant.
What was the kind of catalyst for writing the stories? We said there's been some fine books written about Sir Alf, but you obviously, what got you onto the trail of some of these stories, these unseen stories?
Do you really want to know the full story?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we're doing, in the time we have allotted, we have to keep it brief, but yes.
Keep it brief.
Yeah.
So 2019, it's my birthday. It's a damp, dank December day.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife sends me off to the archive at Ipswich. It's my birthday. I said, I want a special treat.
Yeah.
She says, what do you want to do? I said, I want to go and root around old letters in an archive because I'm an historian and that's what turns me on.
Yeah.
And she said, okay. And so I went. I'd spotted something and I thought it might be interesting. It was the minutes of the directors meeting in the 1950s and 60s in Ipswich town.
Mm.
And I looked on the day that Alf Ramsey was appointed because I got interested in Alf, 8th of August, 1955. And on the same day, in those notes, they're all kind of written in, you know, handwriting. And
yeah.
There's a little note and it says, oh, Alf Ramsey's appointed. Great. There's a player appearing in court, young player.
Mm.
I looked at that and I thought, that's interesting. And I went on a bit further. Oh, it's Ted Phillips, who became an Ipswich legend under Alf Ramsey.
Yeah.
I wonder what was going on there. Went on a bit further. He's appearing in court because he's been accused of gross indecency with another man.
Mm.
And if he pleads guilty or is found guilty, then we're going to have to suspend his contract.
Mm.
Now, obviously, we all know the story of Alf Ramsey. I didn't know the story of Ted Phillips, who was then 22.
Mm.
But Ted Phillips went on to score 41 goals when Ipswich won the third division under Alf, and about 30 more in each season when they won the second and the first. Without those victories, Alf would never have become England manager.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And without Alf being understanding and kind and integrating Ted Phillips, who'd been convicted of gross indecency with another man in 1955, there's no way that Alf would have become England manager. That's the story that started me seeing
it in a totally different way. Why it would pique your interest, because there people have got perceptions about Alf Ramsey, and that obviously made you think, well, maybe there is more to this. And the more you looked into it, you looked into his background, and there's some really interesting stuff about, the only way to put it is that throughout his time in sort of playing and especially in management, there was this sort of racist slur that was thrown at him quite often.
Well, because of reading the Ted Phillips story, I thought, well, I'm going to look into Alf a bit more.
Mm.
And when I looked, all the previous biography written about 20 years ago mentioned, I'm going to call it the D word, asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. Mm-hmm.
It was a nickname he had.
It's a nickname he was given when he was playing schoolboy football in Dagenham.
Yeah. Mm.
I thought, that sounds really terrible to a modern ear. I wonder what that's about.
Yeah.
And it was given to him because he did have a darker skin tone.
Yeah.
And as people who he played schoolboy cricket and football with, who said, yes, he had a darker skin tone. But it was also because his family were rumoured, what people said in those days, were gypsies. We might say gypsy Romany traveller today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he had this double twin track. Now, that use of the D word and also the rumour about his family being gypsies, that started in the late 1920s, early 1930s, and it stuck around with him forever for the whole of his career.
Even for some of his players that played for him in the sort of 60s and 70s, they'd heard the stories and they just took it as read.
They totally had heard the stories.
Mm.
So Bobby Moore, and this is in Leo McKinstry's fantastic biography from 2006, there's Bobby Moore on a team bus in Czechoslovakia in 1973, and the team bus overtakes a caravan of Romani gypsies. And Bobby Moore stands up and calls out to Alf, "Hey, look, Alf, it's a load of your relatives over there."
Mm.
Now, that's an England team bus, mm-hmm. not only full of the players, but full of journalists as
yeah.
well. So the fact that the England captain, our hero from 1966, could kind of make that joke shows that it was those kind of twin rumours about his nickname and about his background were alive and kicking all through the 60s, the 70s and 80s. And we know that from other journalists as well. Jimmy Greaves repeated them in 1993 when Alf still had 6 years left to live.
Yeah. It's, I mean, how much do you think that draw? I mean, he was a fantastic footballer. He was part of Arthur Rowe's push and run team in the early 50s that won the title with Spurs. He was a brilliant player. But you also tell the story of how a kind of part-time coaching job kind of set him on the way to ultimately becoming England manager.
Well, it certainly set him on the path to becoming Ipswich manager.
Yeah.
And that was another moment when I thought, God, we really don't know Alf Ramsey. He's unseen.
Mm.
Because my stepchildren's granddad, Bill, who passed away quite recently, a few years ago, before he died and just after I'd got married, remarried again, Bill said, "You're interested in Alf Ramsey, aren't you?" I said, yeah. He said, "Have a look over there." And there's a team photo, and it's of Bill winning a really prominent amateur league title in 1953-54. Seven people down, there's Alf Ramsey at the back.
Mm.
And he said, "Alf Ramsey was my coach." And I kind of thought, that's really interesting. Looked in the biographies, it's either not mentioned or there's half a sentence.
Yeah.
He was there for 3 years.
Mm.
He coached this top kind of
while he was playing at Spurs at the same time?
Whilst he was playing at Spurs, okay. Get this, to earn extra money.
Oh, wow.
That's why he did it.
Yeah.
There's this, you know, fantastic memory of someone giving him a lift because he's walking down this dark track. And they give him a lift and he says, you're the new football coach, aren't you? He said, yeah. He said, my name's Alf Ramsey. I said, well, why are you doing this then? He said, you need to earn a bit of extra money as a footballer. So I come and coach here on a Thursday night. He did it for 3 years.
Wow-wee. And then he went off to Ipswich and got the reputation and then ultimately became the England manager.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's some talk of neurodivergency is absolutely everywhere now because we know a lot more about how the human brain works. And,
yeah.
And that was prevalent in Alf, it says in your book.
Well, I'm asking the question.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a psychologist.
Yeah.
I've got a big background in education, so I've come across neurodivergence quite often. But I'm not a psychologist. I'm not trying to make a diagnosis, but it's really interesting. When you look at how his Spurs teammates talked about him, when you look about how his Southampton teammates talked about him, they were all saying, yeah, he can be very aloof.
Mm.
He's very detached. He seems a bit anxious. He's very silent. He's rather obsessed with football. He never talks about anything else. And when I looked at the way his kind of characteristics and his behaviours, they all seem to align with neurodivergence. And then I was looking at his strengths. He had this amazing capacity. Before you could film on a phone and before it was easy, he could watch a game and 5 years later, he would tell you the six or seven passes that led up to a disaster that resulted in a goal, because he was a defender, of course, that created a goal for the attackers. He could tell you which foot somebody passed with, the left or the right. He knew all of that. He had an absolutely photographic memory for football games. For nothing else. His wife said if you send him out shopping, he comes back with everything missing.
Yeah.
But for football, absolutely photographic memory. He was obsessed with football all his life.
Yeah. Well, it's a fascinating story. And as I said, maybe it's a chance to reevaluate what sort of shaped him and some of the things that fed into his success. It was a sad end for him, wasn't it, after England failed to qualify for the 74 World Cup, and that was kind of it for him. And he felt like a broken man after that. Whenever you saw him afterwards, he loved doing the job and he never really recovered from it, did he?
I think you're right. I mean, that's so perceptive because he was a broken man. I mean, he had a brief spell as manager of Birmingham City in 77. It never really worked out and he didn't have enough money. He was always, it seemed, short of money.
Mm.
And I think his wife in particular became pretty bitter about the Football Association and his very small pension when Don Revie, who'd spectacularly kind of messed up everything, was getting four times the salary that Alf had ever got.
Yeah.
So he did feel very neglected. And one of the things that I would love is that there's a reconciliation in some way with Alf's memory, because in the late 80s and the 1990s, somehow it seemed to become poisoned.
Mm.
He should be our national football hero.
Yeah.
There's a statue of Bobby Moore outside Wembley, but Alf's, the only thing that Alf has got is a kind of a bust of his head, and it's in the players' tunnel. It's just before they go out at Wembley. He's unseen. Again, he's still unseen. There should be a national statue.
Well, we should bottle some of what he had for next year. We might go and win it on the 60th anniversary. Grant Bagey's book, The Unseen Sir Alf, A Different Kind of Hero, is published by Pitch, and it is out now. Good to see you, Grant. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks very much.